That's right, ladies and gentlemen. This is your alarm call. But don't you dare hit that snooze button. Don't you touch that dial, for you could very well end up in hell today. So listen to the words that God has to speak to you through the song of Miss Joanna Bernier and through the ministry of Reverend Ron Bernier. Into the Light Ministries is proud to present your alarm call.
Opportunity to gather together in the name of Jesus Christ to share His Word. This is one of the greatest honors that we have. For Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst of them. And I believe that. I have the faith to believe that. I believe as we gather together in the name of Jesus, whether we be together in this auditorium, whether it be in the truck you're in tonight, in your car, in your home, wherever it is, I believe as we gather together in that name of Jesus Christ that He is in fact in the midst of us. And if there is any need, whether it be sickness, financial, marital, or whatever it is, we have only to believe, we have only to reach out and to touch the hem of his garment. For Jesus is no respecter of persons, and he will never turn any away. For a little over 30 years, my wife and I and the children have been involved in the ministry, and we have never, ever had a need that Jesus has not met. We have approached Jesus with faith and with a heart full of thanksgiving, and God has always met us. And I just thank and praise and glorify the Lord for all that he's done. As I've shared, we've been in the ministry for about 35 years now, and I am not one to mince words. I like to just tell it like it is, where the rubber meets the road, the scriptural truth. And quite frankly, whether people get mad or glad, at least they've done something. And I believe at that point my job in Christ is finished. Because my job is to simply tell the plain, unwhitewashed truth from the Word of God. Whether it makes people happy or glad, that's their problem. That's something they have to work out with God. My job is to tell the truth. As a minister, I have made it a point, and I have gone out of my way to make sure that I have not spent our time trying to win a popularity contest. Because I know that someday I'm going to have to give an account to God of every word that I have spoken. So my goal in life, if you would, is to bring forth that truth which the Lord has said in his word. To bring forth both the goodness and the severity of the Word of God. It used to drive me crazy when I seen these little loaves of bread that everybody would buy that supposedly had the promises of God. But you know, they missed most of the promises. All of those who want to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I never found that one in there. In fact, all of them that had to do with suffering, and the scripture says that you'll have this, that, the other thing, with persecution, I could never find those in there. They were never in there. And that was just amazing to me that they left out 80% of the Word of God. And we must understand the prerequisite if we want the promise. One of the biggest problems in the church over the years is people have been seeking the promise of God without knowing or doing the prerequisite. Yes, there is a promise. Yes, God is faithful. But there is a prerequisite. You have to find it. You have to meet it. You have to do it. You have to do it correctly. And then and only then will God do his part. This morning, I would like to speak on a subject that everybody thinks they know, but quite frankly, I have met very, very few that truly understand it. And that subject is repentance. And if I may, just for a minute, when we're on the subject, you know, I do not believe in accidents. There is no such thing. We are not together this morning by accident. As I say, if you're in your truck or car or home or you're in this auditorium, wherever it may be, it's no accident. This is a divine appointment. God has brought us together tonight for a divine appointment. God has something to say. There may be one word out of this entire message that's going to touch you, that's going to minister to you, that's going to convict you. The word of the Lord said, "Hear what the Spirit would say unto the churches. For the Lord Jesus Christ has sent forth his Spirit, that the people may hear what the Spirit has to say." You know, years and years ago, 35, 50 years ago, let's go back further than that. Let's go way back to the Great Awakening, to the English revivals. They used to have what they used to call the mercy seats or the conviction seats or the weeping chairs. They had several different names for them. And what it was is, for example, they would have a church with, say, 300 pews or chairs in it. And out of that, up front, they would have like 50 chairs or pews sufficient for 50 people to sit on. Now, what happened was the Holy Spirit of God, not man, the Holy Spirit of God, not emotionalism, the Holy Spirit of God. would come upon people and convict them of their sin. And as that took place, these people would get up. They wouldn't say anything to their husbands or wives or families. They would rather just get up, go forth, sit on these chairs, get before God, let God convict them of the depravity of that sin, of the wickedness that they had been involved in, of the people that had been hurt, of how close they really had come, and God would minister to them under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Now, most people in their entire so-called saved church life have never seen that. What they have seen is emotionalism. We have preachers who go through the seminaries, I guess I said that wrong today, who are actually taught. They are taught how to push the right buttons, how to make you emotionally needed, how to feel emotionally sorry for something. That does you absolutely no good at all. Now, the statistics out of some of these bigger ministries, this is their own statistics, not mine. They have counted the people that supposedly came forth for the altar call during that meeting, and then they have went out 2 years later and checked on them again, and they have found out of every 100 that came forth for that altar call, there was approximately 1 or 2 that were still walking with God. 3 years later, there was 1 or less still walking with God. In other words, over 99% of the people who came forth out of emotionalism, not because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The reason for that is very simple. Because these pastors, these priests, these ministers would get up there and say some pre-programmed, some pre-studied little sermon that they had come up with, some make-everybody-feel-good message, and then stand at the door, shake everybody's hand, and hope they would hand them a 50. That didn't help anybody. What they were supposed to do, what we're still supposed to do, what makes the difference is to be on our knees, to be on our face before God, that we might have the message, the word, the fresh word that God has for us to bring. Now, if we will do that, in that word, God has a message for everybody in that church. If there's 30,000 people there, or if there's 300 people there, God will have a word for everyone that is listening. Let me tell you what happened to those chairs, the mercy seats, the weeping chairs. It started in the big churches. They realized they needed those chairs. And I'm sad to say this morning, the reason they needed them was they needed to put more parishioners in them, that they could collect more tithes, that they could pass around the Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets and get a little more money. And quite frankly, I'd like to spend more time on this tithing and offering thing, and in a future program I hope to do that, because it is totally unscriptural in the New Testament. Remember that when Jesus was performing his ministry, he was performing it under the Old Testament law, which included tithing, so he did in fact do the tithing. But in the New Testament, I defy you to search it, to find me the scriptures on tithing, and then send them to me, and I will publicly, over the air, repent for it. What you will find, for example, is the Apostle Paul saying, set aside a percentage of your wages, that when I get there, none will have to be collected, but rather I can take them to where? To the poor in Jerusalem. Now, anytime they have that offering, I'll gladly donate to it. Because that's scriptural, that's the Word of God. But they didn't take it to pay the pastor's wages. They didn't take it to pay the pastor's insurance. They didn't take it to carpet the church. They didn't take it to put on the blacktop parking lot. They took it to help out the poor. And that's the way it is supposed to be done. That's the way it has to be done. Now, this morning, I want to share with you that we need to keep in mind that as I say, the churches took the chairs away. Now, the tent ministries and the missions down on the waterfronts and that, they kept them for a while. In fact, like even 30 years ago, 35 years ago, when we first started in the ministry, they still, some of the missions and in the tent ministries still had them, and they still used them, and God was still convicting people with them. People, and I'm talking about prostitutes and drunkards and thieves, were genuinely being gloriously saved right off of the street. You know, it may be something, the pastor may be up there speaking on adultery, for example. And maybe it's happened in your life. Maybe it was 6 months ago, 6 years ago. You never got caught. It's over with. The other person has moved out of town. But as that man or woman of God speaks about that word and begins to speak about adultery that morning and what that sin is before God, the Holy Spirit of God will convict the person whose ears are open unto God, who has an ear to hear. That's what the Scripture is talking about. And as the Holy Spirit will speak that, that person hopefully will begin to allow that conviction of the Holy Spirit to speak in, to sink in. And I can tell you how that feels, because it feels just a little bit lower than whale droppings. You feel like the dirtiest, filthiest thing on this earth. What you want to do is go home, you want to take a bath, you want to scrub up with hot water, but it won't do any good because you're still going to feel dirty. You're still going to feel bad. You have to get right before God. And that may take an hour. It may take 15 hours. And in the mercy seat, sometimes the people would sit there for an hour after service. Sometimes they would sit there all day, right up until that following evening service, until they absolutely knew that God had heard them, that they had cried out for forgiveness, that they had been forgiven. In fact, that they were scared to death of that sin, that they would never ever again even get close to that thing, that they would stay as far away as possible from anything that would even suggest the fact that they may ever be involved in that sin again. It could have been adultery, it could have been lying, it could have been gossip, it could have been anything. What I'm saying and the message that I'm trying to get across is that God, not man, brings the conviction. We have totally traded that today. And now man, through emotionalism, is trying to bring that conviction. That's impossible. It won't work. Only God, through His Holy Spirit, can do that. Do you ever stop and think about it? You know, and I realize it's Christmas time coming on, and as you hear this message, I suppose this is supposed to be a Christmas message. Every pastor, man, woman, or God, evangelist, whatever it may be, throughout the world is supposed to have a Christmas message. Now, did you ever think about this? Really, give this some thought. I mean, I was born at night, but fortunately it wasn't last night. There are people in these churches, and we'll say this church has 10,000 people in it. And God gives this pastor supposedly another Merry Christmas, feel-good, happy, cheery Christmas message, as He does to 43 million other pastors that day. Everybody has got one. And on Father's Day, it's the same thing. Mother's Day, it's the same thing. Easter, it's the same thing. They all have this Easter message, this Christmas message, whatever it is. Now, in this church, don't you realize that there are people there that are sitting in that church that are involved in murder? Remember, Jesus said hatred could be murder. But I mean the real thing, real murder. They've been involved in adultery, incest, wife beating, drunkenness, adultery, abortion, all manner of things. And you're going to tell me that God is not interested, He is not concerned about any of those sins, but rather He has given to every single pastor on earth, He's given them this feel-good little 45-minute, and it's got to be a 45-minute message, exactly, because it's got to fit in between the choir, the cantata, the Christmas tree, and a couple other things they got going with time for the offering. And God has given everybody this same message. I really have a problem with that. It is like every funeral you go to, the preacher gets up and says, "We know that Brother John is in a far, far better place." I have known most of these people, and I'm here to tell you, Brother John is not in a far, far better place. He is in a far, far hotter place, and that's about it. But they don't ever tell the truth. They lie about it. And if we would get up and tell the truth, and we would say everything we know about this man's life, everything we've seen in this man's life, indicates and shows us that in all probability, he went to hell. In all probability, he is screaming out in terror and in pain right now in hell. Realize how many people would be saved. And that's what we need to do. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, the word of the Lord says, "No one comes unto the Father but by me," speaking of Jesus. Think of that. You do not come to the Father except by Jesus. Jesus is the Word. And in John chapter 6 and verse 44, the Word of God says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Now nobody can come to Jesus unless the Father draws him. And then Jesus goes on to say, "And I will raise him up on the last day." Now, in Acts 3:19, the Word of God tells us, "Repent then and turn unto God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you forever." Remember, this is Jesus speaking down here. Now, this is what I want to get to, and this is the point of the entire message this morning. I don't want you to go away to be convicted by anything that I have said, but rather I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to come to you. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to show you anything in your life that needs to be dealt with. The word of the Lord said, "It is appointed unto every man a time to die, and then the judgment." A lot of people are going to die today. Nobody's planning on it. Nobody's looking forward to it. And let me tell you this, nobody says, "Today is my day. Today is the day I'm going to die." You know, it's not just the old. You can be very young. Maybe on your way home today, God forbid, somebody will jump the center line and take you head on. You could be suffering from a little pain in your chest right now. Maybe a headache. And maybe that chest pain will turn into a heart attack. God forbid. Maybe that headache will turn into an aneurysm in a brain hemorrhage that will take place. But whatever. What I'm saying is you never know. You never know how long your life is going to be. You never know when you're going to have to stand before God. The Holy Spirit brings the things of Jesus unto us, and he will bring all of the things of Jesus unto us. Now, as we get before the Lord and as we pray, as we seek God, Jesus wants us. This was his whole purpose in being born. He was born to die. He was born to die for one reason, that we could be ransomed, that we could live with Jesus in eternity forever. My brothers and my sisters, that is my prayer this morning, that you would hear not man. Please, don't hear man, don't hear woman, don't believe him. But rather, listen to the Word of God. Seek it out from Genesis to Revelation. Make sure it's consistent. Make sure it's true. Listen to what God is saying to you, not to other people, to you. And then get before God. Get your own mercy seat. Find your own place and get before God. I want to pray with you right now. I ask you to pray with me. It's very simple. And all it's got to do is come from your heart. Holy Father, right now, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the price, who died for our sins, who sent forth his Spirit, that we may be convicted of those sins. Holy Father, allow your Holy Spirit to speak clearly to us, to hear and to know our sins, that we may stand up as brothers and sisters, that we may stand up as sons and daughters of the Almighty, that we might repent of anything we have done to offend you. God, that we may be right with you, that we may hear what the Spirit would say unto the church, and that we may spend the rest of eternity, Lord, with you. For Father, surely thou art worthy to be praised and to be glorified. And in your name we receive it, and we give you all of the praise. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been given a second chance today. Very few people in their lifetimes will ever receive a second chance. So don't let it slip through your grasp. Don't lose your second chance. Pull your car to the side of the road. Get out of your chair. Close your eyes and get before God and pray. It's not an extravagant prayer. It doesn't have to be anything monumentous. All you have to do is get before God and repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart today, Father, to forgive me for any sins that I may have committed, either knowingly or unknowingly, and that you would be my own personal Savior, and that it would show through within me, and that people would see it, Father God, that they would know that I have been changed by you. In Jesus' name, Father God, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, should you wish to reach us for prayer requests via email, you may do that at www.intothelight.org. Should you wish to forward mail to us, it may be directed to Post Office Box 1523, Hollister, Missouri, 65673. Should you have an emergency and need to contact us, we are here day and night, anytime, at 417-335-4529. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to tune in next week, this same time and this same station. On behalf of myself, the music team, the ministry team, and all of us here at Into the Light Ministries, we thank you for listening to Your Alarm Call. Have a blessed and powerful day. And may God be with you in whatever you do.